Greetings from Malden. This instalment is all about the proud moment when I came second among others. If things keep going the way they are, I'm going to have to think about building an extension to my trophy annex. I just very nearly, almost won the highly prestigious Malden Town Regatta, which is to Cows Week pretty much what the sheepdog trials are to the Wimbledon tennis finals. In fact, I came second, which is still pretty spectacular. When I say second, I don't mean second in the strictest, most nitpicking, pedantic, actual sense of the word. What I mean is second, as in second in class, in a class called Others. It's more impressive than it sounds, because we Others were a pretty exclusive bunch, compared with, for example, the mob of light grey smacks, which are as common on the Blackwater as old Ford Mondeos in a billericay minicab rank. Come to think of it, that's not really fair, because at least Mondeos come in other colours. In my class, there were just two of us Others, and the other one won, the bugger. In other words, what I'm getting at is that out of about 50 assorted smacks, Borleys, Pucker Classic Yachts, Gaffers and Plastic Moderns, just about the only ones we beat were some of the slower houseboats, lightships and navigation boys, and that was only on handicap. It's the same old familiar story, you just can't get the crew. I say crew, but the term I prefer to use is staff. I find it defines the relationship more clearly and discourages any awkward over-familiarity, which is always a worry in something as bijou as an 18-foot sailfish, where class boundaries can become dangerously blurred. My unhired hand was local sailor Steve, who I reckoned would have a fund of canny rivercraft, general tactical brilliance, an intimate knowledge of back eddies and such stuff, and most importantly, an all-round evil cunning and commitment to cheating. It all started so well. We were sailing brilliantly, tramping along, the sails perfectly trimmed, telltales rod straight. But as we crossed the start line, it all fell apart. To give them the chance, smacks and Borleys were given a 20-minute head start. When it came to our start, there was a little confusion among Marlin's nav team, that was Steve's department, by the way, about where the start actually was, and that cost us a lot of time. I was determined to make up for it. No bugger was going to overtake us, and that was no mere idle boast, as we were dead last. As owner, I took control of the situation, pointed to the boats in the distance, and ordered Steve to overtake them. What could have been simpler? Instead, our telltales went into permanent spasm, and the dots in the distance became tinier specks. Then, almost imperceptibly at first, the specks started to grow back into dots again. We were gaining. Crew morale soared. We high-fived, roared, "Yeah, yeah, we got 'em!" And chest jumped. Not only a risky manoeuvre on a sailfish, but a clear breach of the articles of crew owner etiquette I'd earlier got Steve to sign. I let it pass this once. Now the dots were growing fast into blobs. This was exciting. It was also wrong. The fleet had rounded a mark somewhere off Norway and was now stampeding straight back towards us. Once they'd scythed by and left us spinning in their wake, I came up with an inspired but unorthodox tactical masterstroke, suggesting that if we turned round right now and tagged along behind, no one would be any the wiser. All of a sudden, Steve got all moral and started blustering pious tosh about cricket rules and sacrosanct. I'd never before heard such foul language from him. He was just as inflexible when I suggested no one would hear if we started the outboard. It was the same story when I said as long as we saw the boys, we needn't be too fussed about going round them. It was useless. The man had no will to win. It was a different matter at the prize-giving, though, when at the tail end of the proceedings, as the crowd thinned, they announced that second prize in Others goes to Dave Selby and Marlin. All of a sudden, Steve sidling up and wanting to touch our trophy, which was a truly splendid china mug. I told him he could only look, because if it wasn't for him and his sudden outbreak, of unreasonable priggish honesty, I could have been first among others. Well, since then it's all got a bit legal, and Steve's lawyers are suing for access to the mug. But that's not going to happen, because I've superglued it to my trophy shelf. The man's a sore loser.